Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Driving Mall Show. Hi, I'm Paul. I'll be your host this evening here on Tuesday at 8 p.m. every single week, talking about rugby. We're back into the swing of things now. I've said Tuesday every single week, but that is going to change. I'm not sure it'll change next week or the week after, so probably to Mondays due to personal commitments on Tuesdays, unfortunately. So look at that change will be coming, and I'll let you guys all know through the old social medias when it is actually going to change. Two big topics this week will be tackle heights, and also we'll look at some of the stuff that's going on at the Highlanders as well. But before we get all into that, don't forget you can follow me at Driving Mall on Twitter, follow our New Zealand Sport Radio Facebook page, or a YouTube channel where you can watch these shows live. Also, you can follow the podcast as well as Social New Zealand Sport Radio on your favourite pod catcher and on that side of things. Let's go through a few news items before we get on to those big topics. One of them that's come up is what's been going on over in Welsh rugby. Where the Welsh Winds former manager Charlotte Watt said she considered suicide while she was at Welsh rugby due to the toxic culture, sexism that was there. She talks about how somebody suggested that he would take her to tie her down to a hotel bed and rape her as well. So in front of other colleagues, clearly a lot of disgusting stuff there happening over in Welsh, in the administration side of Welsh rugby there. Let's hope they get to the bottom of that and have a bit of a clear out and change the culture over there. Unfortunately, I'll be honest, this isn't that surprising. Coming from the administration over in Wales, we know the administration has been a bit of a mess for a long time now. A big dysfunctional relationship they've had with the URC or the Pro 14 teams over there. There's always been this long-term battle as to whether they should have four teams and all that kind of stuff. The administration side of things really has not really done it very well over in Wales for quite a long time now. You could say actually for the entirety of professional rugby, pretty much, if you think that the Welsh sides turned down the opportunity of having an English Welsh league at the advent of professionalism. But there you go. So disgusting stuff happening over there, and let's hope Welsh rugby can sort itself out. Not the only place where sexual things have been going on, or allegations of it at the very least. Kirtley Beale has been charged with alleged sexual assault, over there. He's come back to Australia on a one-year contract, obviously hoping to make it into the Wallabies World Cup side. He's charged with two counts of sexually touching another person, inciting another person to sexually touch them without consent, and sexual intercourse without consent as well. So, yeah, not a good look, not a good situation for Kirtley Beale. And if this proves to be someone who's married with a new kid as well early last year. So really got to feel sorry for his wife there, who's been married to for 2 years as well. Let's hope that she's keeping well in that side of things. But yeah, Kirtley Beale suspended from rugby. It looks like his case isn't going to be held until March at the earliest. Could go on for a year, they reckon. He's only got a one-year contract, so maybe we will not see Kirtley Beale play again in Australia at the very least. So real bad, bad situation there. And obviously it looks like Kirtley Beale's dream of going to the World Cup has pretty much disappeared with that one, unsurprisingly. And what a stupid thing to get himself involved with. So on to happier news. At the weekend, we had the Sevens in Hamilton. This is the last of the New Zealand Sevens before World Rugby changes its the format of the World Series down to just seven stops rather than the current one. I think it was up to 16, wasn't it? Or 14 or 16 stops, something like that. Unsurprisingly, the reason for it is financial. New Zealand isn't the biggest market, so unsurprisingly, the Oceania stop is going to be in Sydney, not in Hamilton. Obviously, much bigger market in Sydney. Probably better time zone as well from a TV coverage point of view for various parts of the world. So unsurprising there that Sydney has won over Hamilton in getting the seven stop for Oceania. Lots of positivity about the tournament since it moved from Wellington up to Hamilton. But there's some comments on Twitter saying the crowds didn't look very good. But then listening to the organisers, they were happy with the numbers of people that turned up. Obviously, I didn't watch it and I wasn't there either, so I don't know what those numbers were like. But congratulations to the Black Ferns and Michaela Lloyd for a hat-trick in the final to win the final. And congratulations to Argentina, who beat New Zealand in the final of the men's competition as well on that one. I'm skeptical about the reduction of stops in the World Series for next year. It's supposed to be about creating more revenue, I guess they're looking at increasing the TV rights and the advertising on that by making it scarcer, therefore making it more attractive or more people are interested in it more. But it's a shame that something that I think needs to be building rather than necessarily shrinking is going that way. But let's see if this does generate more revenue and that's actually allow growth in the sevens game, maybe in that tier down, or maybe some regional competitions as well on that one. The commercial arm of New Zealand Rugby, it's joined with Silver Lake, has completed its nine-strong board with the former Air New Zealand CEO, Rob Fyfe, and Gina Brogie being the last two people being appointed to that one. It also includes Dame Patsy Reddy, Bailey McKay, Mark Robinson, all from appointed by New Zealand. Also, it's going to be chaired by Ian Narve. Not sure who, and not someone I'm aware of. Richard McCaw is going to be representing the players on there, and Simon Patterson and Stephen Evans representing Silver Lake. So good to see that's all now in place. It'll be interesting to see what they manage to do, and whether they do manage to grow revenues over the next few years to make up for selling off the percentage of that income for that $200 million that came in last June. So those are kind of the news items that have jumped out at me over the last week. Obviously, the Heineken Cup or the European Champions Cup has been going on. And they've completed the kind of round robin stage, which, let's be honest, is impossible to understand. Even people who follow it closely find it difficult to explain how that piece works. But now we're into the round of 16, I think it is, of that sort of quarterfinals stage. So at last, it gets down to being understandable, and probably the time you should actually start checking in and start watching those games on that one, because I got the confusing bit out of the way. Rugby administrators, sports administrators, full stop, let's be honest, have been messing around with these sort of tournaments, trying to make sure that the correct, in inverted commas, teams make the knockoff stages from a financial point of view and from a sort of TV point of view. Italy being the only country that hasn't got sides in to the knockout stages. So, look, it's there now. And hopefully we can get you settled down, actually watch some proper knockout rugby and enjoy the rest of the European Rugby Champions, whatever the hell it's called nowadays. So let's get into our two main topics tonight then. Let's kick off with the Highlanders then, and really around their halfbacks situation there. It's come out that Falau Fakatava has decided he will not go for ACL, have an ACL operation in a bid to be fit for the Rugby World Cup. Look, someone who has, let's be honest, is up and coming, someone that's excited to see at the international level, who has unfortunately over the last couple of years been held back by some pretty big injuries, including a couple of ACL operations, which really, at his young age, he's a bit worrying, you would think, on that one. So hopefully he comes back and copes. Apparently he doesn't have an ACL in his other knee, so that's why he thinks he's going to give it a go. Let's see how he does come back from that. So hopefully he's okay and makes a full recovery. But a bit worrying, the number of knee injuries that Falau Fakatava has had at this stage. Mitch Hunt also on track to make a return from knee injury as well there. And to help fill the gap in that number 10 jersey, they have signed Freddie Burns on a one-year deal. The ex-England international has been playing for Leicester Tigers, won the title in England last year. So I think it's a cracking signing for the Highlanders. Someone with international experience, someone who's got big game experience up in Europe. I think it's a cracking opportunity for Freddie Burns as well to come and experience rugby on this side of the world. Very few English and European players do play Super Rugby. And let's be honest, even less so now that the couple of players who used to who end up going to South Africa, obviously with South Africa not being in it anymore, so even less players coming up. So cracking opportunity, I think, for Freddie Burns. Really looking forward to seeing him play Super Rugby and how he fits in down here. Being given a release from his contract by Leicester Tigers to allow him to do that. A little bit surprised as to how few England caps he actually got, because it was between him and Owen Farrell at one point to be England's fly half, the kind of more mercurial player in Freddie Burns versus a more steady player and dependable player in, but less exciting player in Owen Farrell. Owen Farrell obviously winning out on that one. So really looking forward to that. I think it's a cracking signing for the Highlanders. If you have a quick look at their squad, that means in the halfbacks, they've got Folau Fakatava, Aaron Smith, obviously. Triple T has come down there from the Crusaders. So three international experienced scrum halves or number nines there at the Heiligen, at the...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
At the Highlanders there, and also James Arscott as well, learning from those guys. Triple T, onto his third Super Rugby franchise now after 1 year with the Crusaders. And you think the Crusaders have lost Bryn Hall, didn't they? I think it was. So it's all that excitement in sort of 2018 when he broke on to into the All Blacks. The All Blacks scene has not turned out for them since then. It's a shame the way his career is going hasn't really kicked on or been able to kick on from that. So interesting to see how he goes down there, especially he's going to be behind Aaron Smith, obviously, and also Folau Fakatava in the first five for that 10 jersey. Then you've got Mitch Hunter, we've talked about already, coming back from injury. Marty Banks is still down there, and now Freddie Burns, as well as the youngster Cam Miller, who is the last one there, who is the young guy coming through. Only had two appearances for Otago in 2021. I'm not sure how many he had last year in 22, but he's the young gun and the future there, whereas all the other guys, Marty Banks and Freddie Burns in their 30s, Mitch Hunt, still only 27, despite those years with the Crusaders and now with the Highlanders. So a good experience there. But I say a couple of injuries in that area causing them to reach out and get Freddie Burns to come in to that role. Also, they've got a couple of other international players with the Argentinian Martin Bogardo, who has not, or Martini, I guess it is probably Bogardo, who hasn't yet turned out for Argentina, but it'll be interesting to see how he goes in the back three as well. So some interesting signings, interesting news there out of the Highlanders ahead of Super Rugby. But the big news that has been come out has been the announcement by the RFU, the administrators in England, that all rugby from National Division 1 downwards will have tackling be down to the waist and below only. This has caused a huge outcry about killing the game and all of that kind of stuff. Now, when I hear people about killing the game, I really do... what's the word I'm looking for? I really do find that funny, because we look at the game 10 years ago or 15 years ago compared to what it is now, it's totally different than what it is now. And the game is constantly evolving, constantly changing. This idea that something will kill the game and wipe it out, I think, is some absolute rubbish. And it's just people who don't like change. They don't realise change is happening all the time, but it's just... the game evolves, the game changes, and it's still rugby. If you look at what was rugby in the 80s, 60s, 50s, back in the 1920s, very different from rugby today, totally unrecognizable as a game. But should we go back to that? Was that proper rugby or is this proper rugby? What is proper rugby? So to me, that's a that's just people who just hate, who are just scared of change and don't want to see change. So that's not really an argument from my point of view. We've also got a lot of professional players and recently ex-professional players commenting about this change as well. Now, in the UK, where players come through academies, you've got to wonder, when is the last time that they've actually played played amateur rugby or played club rugby or even seen it? So a lot of those people who are commenting, what experience do they have of community rugby? All their experiences of professional rugby, where you get to train all week to play in that game at the weekend and recover properly from all the bashes. You're not someone who just trains one or two nights a week on a Tuesday or Thursday and then plays on a Saturday and has to get to work back on Monday as well. So from that point of view, there's a lot of sort of comments from professional players who are kind of like, well, yeah, the fans or other people aren't qualified to talk about this. Well, I'm not sure you are in some ways, to be honest with you. And this isn't impacting your part of the game. So from that, again, from that point of view, I'm not sure that everyone's sort of talking from, again, from actually experience or actually knowing the parts of the sports that are going to get impacted. Now, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? I think personally, I think we need to look at examples of where it's happened already and look at facts rather than anecdotal of, oh, I've seen players get knocked out by knees before. I'm sure you have. The question then is not going to eliminate people getting knocked out. It's not going to eliminate head injuries. This is about minimizing them and reducing the risk of them, so reducing the amount how often they happen. Now, will this work in doing that? Obviously, I don't know. What I do know is that there have been experiments trying this out in France and in other countries as well. There's some research done in New Zealand here as well. And I think that looking at those trials that have happened and looking at looking at the results of those is a better way of looking at it than this anecdotal touch or kind of I feel this, I feel that approach to this. Is it a big change? Absolutely, it is a big change. Will it change how people have to play? Yes, it will. I think Andy Farrell has got a good point now he says it's an accident waiting to happen is the title or is the headline you will see about this. But what he actually is saying is that there needs to be coaching, there needs to be clarity around this for those players so that they go about it properly. And that just making a change without that support structure behind it can lead to problems. I totally agree with them with that one. There does need to be clarity, and the RFU is going to come out with more clarity around how it will be refereed, how it will apply. Because one of the things that we've said before about the high tackles and high hits is like if someone's diving at the try line from a pick and go, how you definitely can't tackle them from below the waist. That's a meter or two, or a meter and a half, or a meter or two away from you. And his whole body is in between. So you can't tackle below the waist when someone is diving for the line from a pick and go from a ruck. So there needs to be clarity around those sort of situations and how it's going to be refereed for that, what you are and what you aren't allowed to do in that situation. There also needs to be training in place. Now it's going to be very difficult across the number of teams that there are in the community game, because across all the age groups, is how do you implement that training? How do you get it consistent? How do you get enough of it across all those especially for your B or C teams, if you're lucky to have a C team or even a B team, how often do those players actually come to training? Or do they just rack up on a Saturday to play and play for fun? So there are issues around that that need to be worked through. Will it be a totally smooth transition? No. Are we going to hear about the if there are 50 games on one weekend, are we going to hear about the 49 that go okay, or are we going to hear about the one where it's an absolute disaster because of what's happened? We're going to hear about the one, aren't we? We're not going to hear about the 49 okay. So again, look at the numbers for that rather than just the headlines that that come out of it. Look, there have been a couple of trials. Do we need more trials before we go make it this sweeping a change? Possibly. There definitely needs to be more clarity first. Now, I've seen people go, look, the stats they're taking out of the French one is misleading, because the French one, they say they've reduced the number of head and head concussions. Well, they don't talk, and then they say, don't talk about ones that the head and knee, the head and hip concussions. True, but you're also not showing that those have gone up. When people comment about that, they're just saying there's a total lack of numbers there. So we do that more clarity, which we hopefully will get from the RFU as to the number, as to the studies that have led to this, more clarity as to how it actually work from a refereeing point of view, what structure we put in place around coaching, will work the way. Yes, there is a petition with 60,000 people who have signed saying, hey, let's not change. Well, change does have to happen, folks. I'm sorry, but was it over 55? So, well, at least 55 players have threatened to sue. This is amateur players, the RFU around head injuries and a lack of action by the RFU. So this does, the change does need to happen. We do need to reduce the number of head collisions and concussions. The research shows if the heads are in the same area and they clash, then you're going to get concussions, and that actually you reduce the number of concussions by getting the heads not in the same area. It does have to come down. Does it have to come all the way down to the waist? Should it come down to the nipple? In which case, do we need a line on the jersey? Those sort of things need to be is open for discussion. But I don't think personally there's any discussion that tackle heights do need to come down, and definitely below the shoulders, because at the moment, when you're aiming for near the shoulders, it rides up and we're getting those clashes. So you need to get it down further than that. We'll see how it all pans out. It looks like it's interesting to see that Borthwick and Owen Farrell have come out supporting the RFU in this. So it looks like the communication within the RFU has been good on that one. So that's good that they've actually thought about that, haven't just thrown it out there without talking to some of the senior people who are going to have to front up to the media. So good on them for doing that. It looks like there is actually some organization behind this and timing. Look, they're doing it now. They're mentioning it now in January. The season doesn't start to what, September-ish. So again, there's a long run up, and they're giving plenty of time ahead, before next season, to let people know. This is not something that's being announced in August during pre-season, for example, or just before pre-season. So I think it looks, the way that the RFU are going about this does seem to be sensible, as in the sort of the time frame, clarity, etc., managing the kind of people having to talk to the media. Is the change a good or a bad thing? I'm not sure I'd go all the way down to the waist. But I do think it's a step. I do think it's a direction that needs to be happening. So those are my points of stuff that's going on. The Six Nations kicks off not this weekend, but the weekend afterwards. And next week we will talk about the Six Nations. The opening games being Wales versus Ireland and England versus Scotland on the on the Saturday or Sunday morning our time, and then on the Sunday or Monday morning New Zealand time, Italy versus France there in that one. So a couple of interesting ones there. So 3:15 for that Wales Ireland AM, 5:45 AM for England versus Scotland. So yeah, early morning games. It's going to be tough for me and getting up for those. So please do thoughts and prayers for me having to get up, please, for those games. Clearly joking, but have a great week, folks. It'll be back. I'm not sure it's going to be Monday night or Tuesday night next week. We'll have to, but I will let you know on the old socials. So Driving Maul on Twitter, New Zealand Sport Radio on Facebook and YouTube, and obviously, and also that podcast as well. So a quick one this week, but catch you all next week to chat some more rugby and as we actually get back towards some games as well.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.